Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone,
touchdown!
Touchdown, Alabama! Devontae Smith, touchdown, Alabama! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50.
He's got it.
40,
he's got
40,
it.
20. 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour with your host, Drake Colley.
And good afternoon and welcome into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake, joined in the studio by the one and only Big Lou Maddox. It is Monday, April 22nd. Thank you for joining us. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little deflated this afternoon. I'm a little let down. It's been a last night, late in the evening, watching the Predators lose to the Vancouver Canucks 4-2. The game puck dropped about 9 o'clock.
Late game.
Yeah, in Vancouver, first time in 9 years.
2015.
Since Vancouver has been in the playoffs. And, of course, the Predators have not had very good luck with the Canucks this year. They were 0-3 in the regular season matchups. And I thought, you know, I thought to myself, 0-3, you know, the Predators, they can get, you know, the monkey off their back. They can make amends here.
And it looked like that was about to happen.
It looked great. It looked great for about 50 minutes of that game last night. You know, it just
50 of the 60. If you know, if a lot of people aren't hockey people, it's 3 20-minute periods. Predators looked great until the last 10 minutes of the game, and then they kind of just, yeah, you know, in my opinion, it was kind of like their home ice advantage finally took over in the last 10 minutes. They tied it up.
Yeah.
12 seconds later, they take the lead, which was deflating. And I turned it off at that point because it was so rowdy in there. It just, you know, there was a feeling about that game that, you know, they'd probably score another one. Was it an empty net goal at the end there with a minute and 15 seconds to go? And they win 4-2. But you know, a 2-1 lead, they looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Up until the 11-minute mark of the third period, and they kind of just self-destructed.
Well, look, the Predators looked great against a team that had beat them three times this season already. They were 0-3, like I said, against Vancouver. This was game one of a seven-game series. The series is going to be played on a Sunday, Tuesday, Friday type schedule. Two in Vancouver, two in Nashville, then 1-1-1.
The
Predators looked good, you know, last night in Vancouver. They led for most of the night. And the game was played the way the Predators typically prefer. Relatively wide open, but it was a lot of matchups, and Mark Messier in the studio talked about it between periods when they were commentating, when they went back to the studio, obviously. And he said, you know, this is kind of a game that's being played you know, in a phone booth. So it's a lot of one-on-one physical matchups. Even though they were moving up and down the ice rather fluently, but when you had the puck there, the defender was not far away. There was, you know, you always had to kind of keep your head on a swivel, so to speak, and watch where that hit was maybe going to come from. And look, the Canucks are very talented. Hell, they're from Canada. You know, what team from Canada isn't talented? You got the Oilers, you got the Canucks, you've got the Winnipeg Jets, and the Toronto Maple Leafs, who won it a few years ago.
I mean, you think of hockey, I mean, you think of Canada.
Absolutely.
That's where the sport's from.
Because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of ice up there, man. Ain't nothing else to do up there. Bowl, drink,
find a frozen pond.
And play hockey and ice skate.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was a rough night, though. I felt so good about it.
Quinn Hughes kind of changed everything for the Predators, the Canucks. Player that hit a wrist shot that fluttered through traffic and kind of changed directions a little bit and beat Yusei Saros to tie the score up at 2-2. And then before they could even get the damn guy's name announced over the PA system.
Which takes a minute in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do it a little later. They do
a
little later and get everybody fired up. But, I mean, before the goal was that goal by Quinn Hughes for the Canucks that tied the game up 2-2 was even announced. Elias Lindholm got in on the forecheck and forced a turnover. The puck squirted to Connor Garland, who found Dakota Joshua for a finish down around the goal, close to the goal. And then the Rogers Arena there in Vancouver just went absolutely nuts, as the Predators then found themselves within a 12-second span, 12 ticks of the dang clock.
Up one to down one.
Up 2-1 to down 3-2.
Yep.
And then there was an empty netter.
That sealed it.
At the end of the third. And, you know, Predators fans, I got some bad news for you. They said it on the broadcast last night in case you weren't watching. Or you had the volume turned down. The Predators franchise in their playoff history has never, ever lost the first game of a playoff series and come back and won the series.
Well,
0-13. So, I mean, is it time to?
It's time to
get that monkey off your back.
I think so. And I said this on Friday. I said if Nashville can go up there in the first two games in Vancouver and win one of them, if they split those two games, and they have a great shot. I didn't say they had to win the first one and lose the second one. I just said they have to win one of them.
So I had a bet on FanDuel last night. And it was sometimes FanDuel will put together parlay bets, like they'll actually string together three or four different bets to happen within a parlay and give you some pretty good odds on it. I had 13-1 odds on a 14 parlay. One of the things that had to happen, one of the legs of the parlay was over 4.5 goals, which that happened.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly score a goal.
He did.
The Predators to, I think, lose are plus 1.5 goals, which that they did not cover because they lost by 2 with the empty netter at the end.
Right.
And the other one was Forsberg scoring a goal. Forsberg, he just couldn't get off last night. I don't know what the deal was. I'm not really sure.
It seemed like every shot he took last night was kind of forced. And he didn't get a lot of mustard on any shot that he took last night.
Well, there's a lot left to go in this series. It could be wild. It was kind of a wild game last night.
Yeah, it was. I didn't like the energy from Vancouver's fans. Did you kind of notice that was? I mean, it seemed like they hadn't had a playoff game in a decade.
Well, they were fired up
when it was warranted to be fired up, when they took a lead. But you know, they scored the first goal to tie it up 1-1, and it was like, did they score? Or did the Predators just score? Because that doesn't sound like a home crowd playoff goal winning celebration.
Just well, kind of Canadians. They're kind of reserved. They don't, you know.
Well, that's what it seemed like.
In other Western Conference play, in the first round, game one, the Winnipeg Jets won in a classic over the Colorado Avalanche, 7-6.
Whoa.
Yesterday. That's like a 45-42 NFL game. Right. I mean, 7-6 hockey game. That's like a
like 52-49 type. I mean,
I'm just saying. Thing. You know.
Did the over hit?
I would imagine. Yes. The over under on that game was 6 goals.
Okay.
And they scored 13.
One team had 6.
So the Winnipeg Jets are up 1-0 in that series. In the Eastern Conference, game 1, the Rangers beat the Capitals. One seed over an 8 seed, 4-1. The Florida Panthers, with their in-state rival, the Tampa Bay Lightning, won 3-2 in another Eastern Conference Game 1 matchup to lead the series 1-0. So, you know, back to the drawing boards, boys, and the next time the Predators will play will be 9 p.m.
What's up with
Tuesday
that?
Night, because it's Vancouver, baby. It's out there on the It's out there on the left coast. I mean, it's way, you know.
So that's Pacific time, basically.
That's right.
They're playing earlier in the day. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's Vancouver's money line is -155 with an over-under goal total of 5.5 goals.
And what was the total on the first game?
6.
Okay.
Last night. So, so you know that. They're just going to have to get better. And Forsberg's going to have to show up. The Predators have to have Forsberg show up. He's the catalyst.
He's your guy.
He's the man that you know, that all the offense kind of revolves around. And when he's playing well and scoring a goal or two, the Predators play winning hockey.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Are we up? We're just about up against a break, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
That went quick. Okay, this is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake. It is Monday. He is Big Lou. We're going to come back and talk NFL draft, NASCAR. And I saw some videos from Talladega. A buddy sent me from X. There's some young ladies showing out. And I mean showing out. We'll be right back. Attracted to things that bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Murray County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill.
Go to callmepainfree.com.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Let's begin now.
I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake. He's Big Lou. Thank you for joining us. And also join us is Clayton the Claw. Just come in, our NASCAR guru here at the station. I didn't get to see the race. Of course, a friend of mine sent me some video clips of
Saturday night.
Some of the festivities that are going on there. I guess, is that in the infield or
it is
the camping sites?
Oh, or infield. Wow.
Infield camping.
It looked like
area.
It was maybe on the back of a long trailer or bed of a truck or something.
It was a large trailer, yeah.
Yeah, and there were some young ladies up there that were dancing.
Yeah,
they were having a real good time. And so were the men staying around the trailer watching them.
Yeah, it was. It looked like Talladega, you know.
I guess
they call it Redneck Mardi Gras for a reason. So,
well, I mean,
nobody's
and those
ever,
girls. They were not bashful.
It appears that, you know, nobody's ever left Talladega and claimed not to have had a good time. That's for sure.
Well, one guy that left Talladega and was having a good time was Tyler Reddick, as he won the race, beating out Brad Keselowski. Got his second consecutive runner-up trophy, I guess.
Right.
But I guess the real story of the day, and we'll get back to Tyler Reddick and team owner Michael Jordan here in just a second, but was what happened at the finish. Can you kind of explain for people that didn't see it? Can you kind of paint that picture for us, Claw?
You know, there was a couple of accidents during the race, but the big one never really happened until they were coming to the start-finish line for the checkered flag. Michael McDowell in a Ford Mustang had been dominant for a lot of the race.
Now, McDowell led, from what I understand, he led the most laps of the race, like 30 – Over 30 laps, he led the most of any driver in the race.
Oh, absolutely.
He was dominant.
He had a really good car. The Fords were very tough. And Brad Keselowski, also a Ford driver, was behind him, was pushing him. The Toyotas had an accident earlier about 50 laps to go. They went on a different fuel strategy. They all came in and pitted together, and then they ended up crashing each other. And Eric Jones took a heck of a hit. Almost, it's very similar to what Dale Earnhardt's hit was.
Oh, no.
And he actually,
is he okay?
Well, he went to the infield care center, did a TV interview. You could tell something wasn't right. He ended up going back to the infield care center, and they transported him to Birmingham.
Concussion type protocol?
I think it's his chest.
Really?
Yeah, if you listen to the in-car audio after the impact of the crash, he tells his guys, he says, I don't think something's right. It was a bad hit.
Wow.
It was one of the,
that's scary stuff.
It really is. I mean, you're doing 190 and you come to a standstill. But, you know, again, there hadn't really been a fatality in a stock car since Dale Earnhardt Sr. because of all the changes NASCAR has made. But anyways, there wasn't many Toyotas left in the race as they're coming to the start-finish line. They were in the outside lane. And McDowell had about a two-car length lead on Keselowski. Keselowski had intentionally let him get ahead so he and the car behind him could get a run on McDowell and try to pass him as they came to the checkered flag. And
McDowell dropped down and tried to block
him. He threw the blocks. He first went up high to block him. Then he went down low to block him.
And that's where the contact, or that's when he lost. He got squirrely on the back end.
Yeah,
right?
Noah Gregson gave Keselowski a shove, which shoved him into McDowell's. He was trying to block low, which sent McDowell right up into the top of the racetrack in front of the whole field. You saw the number 7 car of Corey LaJoie finish the start finish line on its side.
Wow,
it was bad. But
pretty dramatic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably 20+ cars involved, but kudos to NASCAR. They actually let Reddick and Keselowski finish it to the line. Usually they'll throw the caution out just like that. But in that situation, you know, the old school NASCAR, it didn't matter what was going on the track. You race back to the start finish line with no caution. And they let them do that because there was nobody in front of them that they had to worry. I mean, everything behind them was already happening.
Right.
So they let them finish it to the line.
So they had clean air in front of them, and they were just going to race back around the track everybody else that already was at the finish line coming across it or
correct.
On their side they, or wherever they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, I mean, they were only a few hundred feet away.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and so Reddick gets the win. Michael Jordan was at the race.
Yeah.
There was a really cool picture of Jalen Milroe and Michael Jordan down there.
Is that right?
At the race. So, what?
Milroe being the quarterback for the University of Alabama.
Yeah. Correct, uh-huh. correct. Yeah. So,
under the Heisman, we'll be under the Heisman watch this coming year.
I would think so. Him or Ty Simpson.
Yeah. Michael Jordan finally celebrated a NASCAR. Speaking of MJ, he finally celebrated a NASCAR Cup Series win in person for the first time as a team owner, as he was there in Talladega at the Super Speedway on Sunday, as he watched his driver, Tyler Reddick, race to victory lane at the Super Speedway. Reddick, who was driving a Jordan brand number 45 car for 2311 Racing, is that what correct. It's called with the X1 or the Roman mm-hmm. numerals 23X1 Racing or 11 Racing?
Yeah, Denny Hamlin's the co-owner. He drives the 11 car, so that's where, okay. that's where that 11 comes from.
Matter of fact, Reddick climbed the catch fence in front of the crowd cheering, in front of the cheering Talladega fans. And Jordan scooped up Reddick's 4-year-old son, Bo,
mm-hmm.
In his arms and celebrated with the pit crew on pit row. And Jordan said he did a great job. He told Bo, Reddick's 4-year-old son. Then he asked Bo, he said, "You going to celebrate?" And Bo turned to him and said, "Yeah." As he, was holding. I mean, you're 4 years old and you're Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball, if not the greatest basketball player of all time. Is holding. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, he'll appreciate that photo in about another 10 to 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
They gave each other a high five. Jordan went to Victory Lane to meet Reddick, where he told reporters, finally be able to watch one of his cars win in person. And Jordan was just beside himself, and he just said, "I love it." This is Jordan's fourth year as a team owner for 2311, a joint venture, as you said, Clayton, with three-time Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin. Reddick and the team's other driver, Bubba Wallace, mm-hmm. have won races before, as has Kurt Busch, a former 2311 driver. However, Jordan had never been on site for one of those victories.
I tell you what's cool is that both of his cars are his former jersey numbers, 23 and 45.
Jordan's. Yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And he's cutting the checks.
He is.
I mean, he's writing the checks.
Well,
right?
I'm sure Toyota, as their manufacturer, is pumping a lot of money in there too. But what a great day for NASCAR to see Michael Jordan in Victory Lane.
I mean, sure. NASCAR. Listen, NASCAR needs all the – and right now, and you know it as well as I do, I don't care what you say, I don't care what anybody says, NASCAR needs as much help rebranding NASCAR mm-hmm. as they possibly can get.
Well, you look at the stands, they were packed at Talladega on Sunday. That's and obviously what happens the night before with the partying and all that stuff helps. But Drake, you'll like this idea that NASCAR's talked about. In states where it's legal, they've talked about being able to have like windows to go bet. To go place bets for the race, kind of like you
just
do
like horse racing.
Exactly. And so I think adding that feature to it in the states that allow it, that'd be a good feature to have.
Drake, I know we had a little coin on William Byron. How'd we do there?
William Byron did not quite show up yesterday like we had hoped. I mean, Lord Byron. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah,
William Byron, where were you, man?
Those Fords were strong all day. So were the Toyotas. The Chevys have been dominant all year. Ford has yet to get a win, and they had two cars in the top two on its way to start finish line, and they still weren't able to get one. So, William Byron, though, has been the hottest driver all year, and you really can't. These restrictor plate races, it's all about whoever can get through the mess and be there in the end. And Tyler Reddick, he was the guy.
Jordan has been Michael Jordan, which I didn't know this, has been a lifelong NASCAR fan.
Yeah.
I mean, he attended races as a kid growing up in North Carolina.
That's NASCAR country, man.
You know, where NASCAR, that's the fatherland. I mean,
and you think about locally, Sterling Marlin was the big talk of NASCAR when he raced around this area, but he was one of the few drivers that actually lived outside of North Carolina. You know, you still got a few that do, like Chase Elliott still lives in Georgia, flies himself to and from the racetrack. But most of these guys live in Mooresville, North Carolina.
He became friends with Denny Hamlin, talking about Jordan, when the driver had the Charlotte Hornets courtside season tickets. And they decided to jointly start a NASCAR team in 2020 and debuted with Wallace, Bubba Wallace, at the 2021 Daytona 500. Hamlin said, "It's good for everything you can imagine. You're talking sponsorship, you're talking manufacturers, you're talking team morale. It's just so good in many different ways in regards to having Michael Jordan as on board." I mean, you know.
He's the GOAT.
He absolutely is a GOAT.
He's the GOAT, and now he's finding success in other areas. I know he mentioned that owning this team has helped him, you know, kind of with his competitiveness. But yet he's not in control. So I wish they would have said, "Well, do you want to jump in a race car?" Because he probably would have said yes. Although it would have been hard to fit a 6'6" guy into a stock car.
Yeah,
somebody's got to get young Bo Reddick. Go ahead and get him to view the Last Dance. He'll probably appreciate that picture earlier than 10 to 20 years down the road.
And get him a little kid's Bulls jersey. You know, Donovan?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, get him some swag is what he needs.
But a great day for NASCAR. I mean, it's just, it's huge.
Michael McDowell, unfortunately, you know, he does the block move there towards the end, and he goes from first to 36th. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I know that's just part of the racing, and that's just part of it. But, I mean, after leading a race high 36 laps like you did, and then all of a sudden you just –
And, you know, and he's in a mid-tier car. He's not in a great car, but he's an excellent driver. He's won a few races here and there.
That just shows you how quick everything can go from
absolutely
first to worst. I mean, that's
and also, you know, update on Erik Jones. I don't know if he's been released from the hospital yet, but you hope that everything's okay there because, again, that was just a nasty, nasty hit in the turn three wall.
Okay, Big Lou, you had the Maury County Middle School Baseball Championship over the weekend. Can you give us a quick update before we go to break on that, please?
Yeah, it was a rematch of our large school championship that we had last Saturday afternoon at Spring Hill Middle School, where Battle Creek won 17-12 over Whitthorn. So they were the large school champions. We go to Cullioca, have a large school versus small school Final Four for the whole Maury County Championship. Those same large school teams come out of that. Battle Creek and Whitthorn, they go back, play this past Saturday at Spring Hill Middle School, and Whitthorn
thumped them
0-2 against Battle Creek throughout the season. 0-3 against Battle Creek throughout the season, and they won 10-0.
See, that's why I thought that. That's why I thought the Predators 0-3 against the Canucks during the regular season might show up last night, and
some
they
same
did
kind
show
of magic.
Up for 50 out of the 60 minutes until. They give up two goals in a span of 12 seconds.
Is it best of five or best
seven.
Of
seven?
Okay, so it's early. It's early.
We got to split. Got to split those
Preds
two games.
Preds have never won a playoff series where they lost the first game. So 0-13.
Ew.
Yeah, but congratulations to Whitthorn there. The
Let's get
overall
back to
Maury County
way
Conference
to go Tigers,
champions.
Baby.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a blowout in the middle school game, just call Lewis to come broadcast it. It'll happen.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, unfortunately.
Okay, this is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake in the studio with the Claw and Big Lou. We'll be right back, talk a little NFL draft, which is on Thursday, and talk about another GOAT right now, Scotty Scheffler. Be right back. Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and bitter way. You're back for all the faith you ever had in your brain. I couldn't be the one you need the most. Could leave you feeling just like a ghost. You never want to feel so sad and lost again.
People are just obsessed with their lawns. They'd cut their grass with a pair of scissors if they could. Thanks to Gravely, they don't have to. You see, Gravely makes not only the best built and most comfortable lawnmowers, but they also leave your house looking like a doggone country club. So whether you're a commercial landscaper wanting the best or just a perfectionist homeowner, you can't do better than a Gravely.
See our full line of Gravely products at Murray County Equipment, 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia, Tennessee, or check us out on Facebook.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom of Ten Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Murray County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at tenpin.com. Ten Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I'm going to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at caringheartshomehealthcarellc.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years, and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Coach Devin Simler from Columbia Central Baseball. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake in the studio with Big Lou. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Monday afternoon, almost pretty much the last week of April. You folks making plans to go down to the Gulf, Orange Beach area this weekend. The Floribama Lounge has got their mullet toss weekend. It's like Mardi Gras. People say, what's mullet toss like at the Floribama Lounge in Orange Beach, Alabama? I said, it's kind of like Mule Day and Mardi Gras on the beach.
And it's not the
think
hairdo.
About that. If you think of it, it's like a hybrid. It's like a Mule Day. It's like mixing Mardi Gras and Mule Day on the beautiful beaches of Orange Beach, Alabama.
And I thought it was the mullet hairdo. It's the mullet fish.
It's no, it's a, it's a competition to see how far you can toss. They have a fish from one end of the course to the other. They have people that run out there, young ladies run out there, and scantily clad young ladies running out there with the measuring tape to measure how far you've thrown your mullet. And the only rule is you got to go get your mullet. You can't throw it and just walk away. You've got to run. If you throw it, the rule is you got to go get it. And you bring it back, put it in the water bucket, so other contestants can throw. They raise a lot of money for charity. It's a great cause and a great time.
Don't tell PETA about it.
Don't tell who?
Don't tell PETA.
No, I think PETA's cool with it. The mullets are already dead. I mean, there's no really painful, you know.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Mistreating of the mullet. But it is a big, big party on the beach. And a good friend of mine here in Middle Tennessee, Spring Hill, matter of fact, was the six-time consecutive champion in the men's open division. They have different age division. They have a kids division, teenage, you know, all the way up to a men's open division. And Woody was his name, what we called him, was a six-time defending men's open champion.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he threw a mullet almost 60 yards.
So it's kind of like – I'm kind of picturing like redneck shot put.
It is kind of like a redneck shot put, yes. And they tape off a course there on the beach. And people set up lounge chairs on both sides of the course. And the course might be, 30 yards wide and maybe 80 yards long. If that makes sense, okay?
Yeah.
And you throw from one end, obviously, towards the other end. And now they used to be back in the old days that they were something, some drunk fishermen or whatever the deal was. They were – mullet is kind of a worthless fish. Mullet is kind of this really bony – has so many bones that you can't even fillet it and really eat it. I mean, it's not really hardly edible unless you're really damn hungry. But one afternoon, I think some fishermen had pulled in a net or caught some fish, and they were had been drinking quite a bit, and I think they were a little bit perturbed that they had caught some mullet fish that were basically worthless. So right there on the Florida-Alabama line, which is where the Florabama Lounge is, they decided that they would throw
mullet.
They would give back the mullet to whichever state they had caught it in into the other state. So they were
– I see.
If they were from Alabama and they went fishing in Florida, they would just throw the mullet back over on the Florida side because it was worthless. And so they started kind of – they had this kind of little drunken contest. I think it evolved from the 80s to today. And now it's just a tremendous party on the beach. And
sounds like a fun time.
It is really a fun time, I'm telling you. And it is this weekend, the last weekend in April, and I'm a little upset I'm not going. And another thing that happens pretty much the last weekend in April is the NFL draft, where the Titans are scheduled to pick number 7. Did you know, Big Lou, that there are legacy prospects throughout this whole draft this year, legacy prospects.
There's a bunch of them.
Players that we probably knew or heard of. You're much younger than I am, but that people have heard of over the years. Now their sons are in this year's NFL draft.
But some of them that I grew up watching, their dads, which kind of makes me feel a little old.
Well, you're not, Big Lou. Come on. You're not even legal drinking age yet. Legal.
But.
Which I don't agree with. If you're legal to go fight for this country and die for this country or get wounded or whatever happens in war to young men and women in this country at the age of 18, then you're old enough to drink a damn beer or drink a whiskey if you want one.
Well, I appreciate that. We need to
it's ridiculous.
We need to take that to the house.
Anyway. Okay. So you know, people know the Mannings, the Matthews family, the Longs, the Metcalfs. What about Harrison? What about the Harrison family? Marvin Harrison Jr. and his father, Marvin Harrison, who played at Syracuse and then played with Peyton Manning at Indianapolis Colts. His son, Marvin Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State, is a projected top 5 pick. He's the favorite to be the first non-quarterback selected Thursday night. Frank Gore Jr., a running back out of Southern Mississippi. Well, everybody knows about Frank Gore Sr.
He played
at the U, right? He played at Miami.
Yep.
Played at San Francisco.
Great running back in San Francisco. The Hall of Famer.
Oh, absolutely he is.
Just retired a few years ago.
He enjoyed his best years with San Francisco 49ers, making 5 All-Pro teams during a decade-long run in the Bay Area. He finished his career, Frank Gore Sr. did, with exactly 16,000 yards.
Really? Frank Gore is, in my opinion, the absolute staple of longevity as a running back in the NFL.
Well, and funny you should say that because this article goes on to say his NFL record for games played by a running back, 241, might stand the test of time. 241 games as a running back, folks. Longevity at the position in today's NFL isn't exactly a rewarded skill. You know,
that's true. I think the average lifespan of an NFL running back now is 3 to 4 years. So it's really just a rookie contract that they're getting. And you're talking about, what, 16 years that he played? Yep. 17 years?
Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver from Rice University. His father, Ed McCaffrey, wide receiver, played at Stanford. I mean, that McCaffrey family, I mean, what's in their genes, dude?
I don't know.
Everybody with the last name McCaffrey is just like this super, super athlete. I mean,
super
I don't know. Smart,
too. You got to be smart to go to Rice, first of all, but you got to be insane to get a degree from
Ed
Stanford.
Ed McCaffrey was a 3-time Super Bowl champ, enjoyed a productive 13-year NFL career, saw him accumulate almost 7,500 yards, played with John Elway, Denver wide receiver.
And Shannon Sharp.
Nowadays, he enjoys watching his sons follow in his footsteps. His oldest son, Max McCaffrey, went undrafted out of Duke but bounced around the league for a few seasons. His middle son, Christian McCaffrey,
is
one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah.
And now the youngest, Luke, should join the family business likely as an early day three selection is where he projected.
There's also another one, Dylan McCaffrey, that I believe his name's Dylan. He played quarterback at West Virginia, I think, and went undrafted. But
what about Brendan Rice, wide receiver out of USC? I believe that's Southern Cal.
Rice sounds a little familiar.
Jerry Rice is his daddy, and he played at Mississippi Valley State. Jerry Rice did. He's just probably, I don't know, the GOAT at the wide receiver position.
He's the best wide receiver of all time.
I mean, come on, it's Jerry Rice, man. I mean, you can't compare Brendan to his dad, who's a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest players to ever lace up the cleats, you know. But we'll see what happens as far as Brendan Rice. Joe Alt, who is the offensive left tackle who the Titans are projected to take.
Fingers crossed.
His father, John Alt, A-L-T, offensive tackle at Iowa. He was the 21st pick in 1984 in the first round. John Alt, his father of Joe Alt, was a standout offensive tackle, like I said, for the Hawkeyes. Played 13 years in the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. Interesting. So these are all legacy picks or legacy guys, players that are in this year's NFL draft that their fathers, that some of us might recognize. I recognize just about all these guys that we're talking about. Javon Foster, his dad Jerome Foster, defensive lineman at Ohio State in 1983, was a fifth-round pick. Javon's offensive tackle out of Missouri. Drake Nugent, a center at Michigan. His father, Terry Nugent, was a quarterback at Colorado State. Was picked in the sixth round in 1984. Jonah Ellis, edge rusher out of Utah. His father, Luther Ellis, defensive lineman out of Utah. So those are just some things to watch for Thursday night out of Detroit for the NFL draft. The Titans are going to pick seventh unless they trade. They are predicted maybe to trade that off to the Chicago Bears and drop down a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
There's been some
talks.
There
might be some movement, but the easy choice for the Titans will be Joe Alt, best left tackle in the draft, and we'll see what happens. All right. Scottie Scheffler. Man, I mean, Scottie Scheffler has won four out of the last five tournaments he's played in, including the Masters last week. And he won the RBC Heritage this today.
What was he at, 18 under?
Yeah, they had to finish it today because it went dark last night after a 2.5-hour storm delay yesterday. But he finished it today, and he bogeyed the last hole, but didn't make any difference because he won by three strokes over Sahith Thigala.
Is that a live golfer?
19 under overall. I'm not really sure.
19 under is,
you know,
unreal.
That's a pretty good 4 days.
Yeah.
No golfer since Tiger Woods in 2006 has won a major like the Masters, which the Masters is last week, like Scheffler won, and then come back and win the following event the next week.
Well, there you go.
No PGA golfer has done that except for Scottie Scheffler. You know, he's the man, Scottie Scheffler at 27 years old, and you know he's getting in that Jack Nicklaus range. He's getting in Tiger Woods range. I mean, this guy needs to be given his due. He's a badass.
I think he's there.
You know,
you got a green jacket,
and to watch him play and handle himself on the course, he's way beyond 27 years of age. Seems like to me. You know, I mean, that's
he's yeah.
Did you hear about the Texas? Real quick, did you hear about the Texas high school baseball game?
Third
longest in U.S. history. Lasted 23 innings between Midland High School and Odessa High School. It took them 6.5 hours to play a 23-inning baseball game. They started on Friday. Darkness came. They had to cut it short on the 14th inning. Midland was up 3-2. They come back to finish it on 3 o'clock on Saturday. Odessa scores at the bottom of the 14th, and it goes another 9 innings to 23 innings for the third longest in U.S. history.
I applaud that radio crew.
There you go.
That ended up having a
25 innings is the national record for a high school baseball game.
It's wild.
Damn game lasted 3. And by the way, in case you're wondering, Midland won 4-3. This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake. He's Big Lou. We're going to talk to you on Thursday. Have a great rest of the week.